I recently heard someone say that we're more likely in this season to remember how we journeyed with one another more so than what we actually said during this season. And I like that because I love the way that we've been living with one another and journeying with one another. I hear stories of incredible things that are happening, some beautiful, beautiful human moments. Actually, I believe this season is bringing out the best in so many of us. As I was walking down this very path just not that long ago, I was thinking about this morning, Easter morning, the greatest morning of all, and thought about the season that we're in. We're behind closed doors, and so were they. We're in that place that some of us are really fearful of what's on the outside and how that might actually impact us. So were they. And we're in a season where actually there are people that are gathering graveside. I saw one yesterday, and I looked, and there was only a few people standing by the grave with each other, and that's the way it was actually on Easter morning. It wasn't a large gathering of people. It was just two that made their way to the grave. It was Mary and Mary, and as they stood there, the unfolding of what took place, it was almost unbelievable, but the unbelievable became incredibly believable. In fact, it changed the entire world what happened. I want to share that story with you. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I do not know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, like, of course, because nobody expects a dead person to come to life again. Thinking he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." He called her by name. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The disciples were behind closed doors. It was Mary, and actually the Gospel of Matthew tells us there was another Mary that was there as well. Mary and Mary went to the tomb. There were two of them that went there. And where were the disciples? Behind locked doors. Why? Well, it makes perfect sense that they would be behind locked doors, because what they had witnessed was Jesus being brutally crucified, laid into a tomb dead. And they wondered, having pinned their hope to him, having been with him through that journey, having thought that this would be the one that we will pin our future to, now he was gone. And so was their hope. And fear began to set in, and they wondered, who's next? Who's going to go that route next? And they looked at each other and thought, it's probably us. And so they went behind closed doors. They were fearful of what was on the outside. In fact, at the tomb that day, it was Mary and Mary that went. So many of us have gathered around tombside, and then when we've gathered around the graveside, as I've already said, it's just been a few of us, this, them too. Which makes me think about this. Maybe this Easter, more than any other Easter, gives us opportunity. With this unprecedented time that we're living in, we have this unprecedented opportunity to actually tap into the real heartbeat of Easter and where this thing actually started. In the Gospel of Matthew, as I mentioned, it was Mary and Mary that were going there. And the story in the Gospel of Matthew is powerful, because what we see is they were going to view the tomb. Of course, You don't view a live person that was laid dead in the tomb. They went to view the tomb. They went to look at the tomb. And what happened next says in the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew that the earth began to shake. Now, first thought would be we're experiencing an earthquake, but that is not what was happening. An angel of the Lord, it says, was descending down, coming down to the earth, and that in itself had the power to begin to shake and to move the earth. Then this angel flexed some angel muscle, I guess, and begins to shove back a rock. Why? Because the tomb was actually emptied already, to show that the resurrected Christ had actually resurrected. It says the appearance of this angel was that of lightning, looked like lightning. I guess I kind of know what that looks like, but I can tell you I've never seen lightning or a person or an angel that looked like lightning that wasn't lightning. So here we're looking at a lightning figure that actually wasn't lightning but looked like lightning. And at the sight of that, at the sound of that, at the shaking of the earth, at the rolling back of the rock, the one point of the story that actually tells us something that we could tap into is the angel was dressed in what kind of clothing? Yeah, it would be white, right? We think white. And it does say that, snow white clothing this angel was dressed in. And at this, all of the guards that stood around were so fearful, it says they went like dead men. They fell to the ground in fear. They passed right out, fainted. And there stood two women, Mary and Mary. I don't know how close they were. I'm sure they were on tilt, ready to go down themselves, when the angel actually spoke. A lightning-looking figure with white clothes on spoke to them and said, "Don't be afraid." Yeah, right. All these guys that were so fearful, they're already on the ground, and now you're asking the two of us, these women, not to be afraid. And then the angel spoke the words that changed the world. Actually, what changed the world is what they were talking about. It said, he's not here. Jesus has risen just like he said he would. He's out of the grave. The resurrected one is alive. Death has been defeated. The impossible actually became possible. The unreal, like this can't possibly happen, actually became real, became a real possibility. Yeah. And where it started to me is actually pretty beautiful. It started in a place of despair. It started in a place of darkness. Of course it did. Because that's where all things get birthed. Barbara Brown Taylor, she wrote these words. Resurrection is always around these things like Easter lilies and the sounds of trumpets, the bright streaming lights. But it did not happen that way. Because if this happened in a cave, which it did, right? If it happened in a cave, if it happened in complete silence, then it also happened in absolute darkness, with a smell of damp stone and dug earth that was in the air. New life starts in the dark, whether it is a seed in the ground, a baby in a womb, or Jesus in a tomb, it always starts in the dark, which tells me we have an opportunity this year to actually not just talk about Easter, but to really feel it. To feel it in the experience that we're all going through in this quarantine. And I heard a number of people, I mean, none of us would have guessed that we would be sitting where we're sitting this morning. And none of us, even several weeks ago, we were asking or wondering or at least hoping that we would be back together again in mass on this morning to celebrate the resurrected Christ. And then I began to see posts, and this back several weeks ago, but began to see posts. So what's going to happen to Easter? Are we going to cancel Easter? I thought, man, that is not the way it works. That's not how that happens. You cannot cancel Easter with a quarantine, either any more than you can cancel the resurrection with a rock. You can't stop it. You can't stop the celebration of Easter with a quarantine any more than you can stop a resurrection of the Jesus that came into this world, died for us, and rose from that grave than you can stop that with a rock. Uh-uh. Death could not hold him. And what can't be held, what can't be held back is that desire in our hearts to worship this resurrected one, this gratitude that we have that everything has been changed. Meaning this, that where we find despair, Easter says hope is on the rise. Where we found death, Easter says new life can be birthed out of that. Where we find sorrow, Easter says that may last for the moment, but joy is going to return to you. Where we find a longing inside of us, Easter says, I have the answer. His name is the most beautiful name of all. His name is Jesus. Think about the experience of Mary and Mary. They're walking to the tomb down a path, a rocky path, sorrow in their heart, looking to see the tomb where the one that they loved was still laying. And then to experience this angel, lightning colored and powerful enough to move back the stone, an angel in white that spoke life and said, he's risen. He's not here. And then to walk away from that. Were they convinced yet? I don't know. All they had heard from at that point was an angel. And then what do we see them doing? We see them eventually meeting Jesus. They're going back, standing there, thinking, what do we do with this news? And they hear the voice of Jesus. Mary, greetings. These words coming to them. And immediately they know this isn't just some crazy thing that just happened. This is an amazing thing that the resurrected one is standing before us. And they clasped his feet and he invited them to do what? Go back and tell the brothers now. Tell them this good news. Tell them I'll meet them in Galilee. In other words, tell them I'll meet back up again because we're not done yet. The story is so good, but it's just beginning now. There is the birth of something brand new that's going to happen for planet Earth. And when Jesus met with them there in Jerusalem or there in Galilee, when he met back up with them, he began to share words with them. And then this resurrected one began to speak to them about what would be and said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the very ends of the earth. You will shake this world in a whole different, beautiful, powerful way. I heard somebody recently that they didn't call their church what we are calling ours right now. We're saying home church. We're doing home church. You and your home and us and our home. They're not calling it online church. You know what they're calling it? Church gone viral. Man, I love that. You know where the original church went viral? It was in a place called Galilee, in a region of the world where Jesus did his ministry in Capernaum. And then it's when he spoke to the disciples and said, and now you're going to be powered by the Holy Spirit to go change the world. And what got spoke of them was that they flipped the world right side up. The book of Acts says they flipped the world right side up. Or actually it says they flipped the world upside down. But I know what they were doing. They were turning the world rightly toward God. Which leaves a pretty big question for us. What's next? What's next for us? What out of this Easter season is going to get birthed new in us? What might be the next move? So maybe the question's this. What does God want to do in us and then through us? We are his church. He gathered up his disciples in Galilee and said, hey, Let's bring this good news to the world. Well, here we are in the year 2020, living in unprecedented times with an unprecedented opportunity to actually allow God to do a beautiful work inside of us here on this Easter, that we might come out of this thing a different people, transformed, that we might live and love and serve the resurrected King in the power of the Spirit. May that be our Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed.